So Jeffrey actually mentioned as well the compensation scheme for the Windrush generation that's been devised by the Home Office, which provides us with a nice sort of segue into the next section of our conference today. So as you know, the Home Office has set up a compensation scheme to with the aim of righting the wrongs of the Windrush scandal, as well as another scheme to help those who have been affected to regularise their status. And so today we have got Dan Hobbs, who is the director of the Windrush Asylum, Immigration and Citizenship at the Home Office. And he's going to present to us, I believe he's got some slides that he's going to share, and he's going to present to us on those schemes, and we'll have time for questions afterwards. So if you do have questions, please either post them in the chat or in the Q&A, and I will post them to him once he has finished presenting. So Dan Hobbs, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Sarah, for that introduction. As you say, my name is Dan Hobbs, and I'm the director, amongst other things, for Windrush in the Home Office. I am just trying to work out the technology to see how I share my screen so that I can run through the presentation. Sorry, this is a different, it hasn't come up on my system how I share my video. I don't know whether the technician I know who's on might be able to help with that.
Can you see the share screen option at the bottom?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I think he should be able to do
that option.
Great. Green
button. I think he should have a green button at the bottom. Here we go.
Yep. Has it appeared?
No.
Okay, you're a co-host.
In which case, I'll talk to the slides.
Should be up now because you're the host, so it should say share screen. As the host, you should have all the powers to do everything, so you should be able to see the option.
No, definitely not there.
Okay.
Let me take a photo of the screen and I'll send it to your people so that they can see.
Yes, what please. I've got. That would be very helpful.
Sorry about this, ladies and gentlemen.
Or if you want to send him the slides, he can share his screen.
That might be easier. Who do I send them to? Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
No, that's absolutely fine. If you send them to George Brown or the channel's email address. Yeah, it's in the chat there, channelsresearchgroup@gmail.com. If you send them to us, we can share.
Just sent it to Channel Research Group, so hopefully that's gone through.
Yeah, channels with an S.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So that should come through to us in a moment. While we wait for that, would you be okay to kind of just sort of introduce what you're going to be speaking about?
Why don't I start talking about it? So first of all, thank you very much for the invitation to take part in today. I really welcome the opportunity to be here and talk to the community, particularly today, Windrush Day, where we celebrate 72 years since the Empire Windrush, and the passengers began to their disembarkation to come and support Britain in post-World War II, and the massive contribution that the Caribbean Commonwealth and lots of nationalities that were aboard that ship, and obviously not just on that ship, that have contributed to making Britain what it is today, particularly if we look at our essential services and the building of the NHS. It's a huge contribution, and it's an honour to speak with you today. But it's also right, and I know the Home Secretary would want me to do this, is to begin with an unequivocal apology for what happened and what has become synonymous with the Windrush generation, which is the issue around people's lawful status and the scandal that broke a little over 2 years ago, when people from the Windrush generation, from not just the Caribbean Commonwealth but beyond, were caught up in measures that were designed for illegal immigrants. That should not have happened. And as I say, I apologise for that. As a leader in the Home Office, it's really troubling and sad and catastrophic, really, that that happened, and it shouldn't have happened. And I want you to know that we are absolutely determined to work with communities and the individuals to right those wrongs, but also to ensure that nothing like that happens again. So on my own behalf and that of the Home Office and the Home Secretary, I want to pass on my unequivocal apology for what happened. Today I'm going to talk around a range of things. So what the department did in its initial, I've just had an undeliverable, I think it's because of the size of the file, unfortunately.
Okay.
So it's just bounced back because it has videos embedded in it. It's quite a file, but I it could be a security protocol at my end that doesn't allow me to share my screen because of the Home Office security systems.
Okay.
So I will have to just talk to the I just have to talk to the videos, if that's okay.
No, that's absolutely fine.
Slides. So apologies, ladies and gentlemen, for that technical issue. We're all learning in a COVID world about what does and doesn't work.
Indeed.
So I'll talk very briefly about what the department has done in response to Windrush, a little bit about Wendy Williams's lessons learned review that was commissioned, the compensation scheme, and then the support that's available, and kind of next steps, and then we'll have time for questions at the end. So in response, there are a number of key measures that the department has taken in response to the Windrush scandal. The first was to set up the Windrush Task Force. That is a free service that is available to people to come forward who believe that they have issues with evidencing their lawful status in the UK. And that service enables people to get the documentation they need, but also, if they wish to get British citizenship. That is a free service. It is also a completely ring-fenced, if you like, service. And anybody who goes forward to the task force, none of their details will be shared with immigration enforcement. So people can come forward to that through the helpline number, which I will give out later, in full confidence that their details will be safe and secure, and no information will be shared with immigration enforcement. I want to make that really clear, because it is really important that people have the trust and the confidence to be able to come forward and resolve their status, so that we can avoid anything untoward happening to those individuals, people who came here from the Caribbean before 1973, who have rights to be here and are protected in their status in the UK. So, under that scheme, we've been able to redocument or provide British citizenship to more than 12,000 people. Alongside that Windrush task force that provides those documentations and confirming status where appropriate for individuals or giving them citizenship, we have something called the Vulnerable Persons Team, and they've worked with more than 1,400 individuals who have found themselves in particularly acute need. So they've had specific needs, whether that's with housing or whether they were unable to return to the UK, or they had particular financial difficulties or health problems, and they needed some additional support. And that team has supported them. We've provided 35 urgent and exceptional payments where people are facing immediate destitution, which meant they couldn't wait for the compensation scheme or cannot wait for compensation, and that's to provide them with emergency payments to cover key essential living. But equally, they have worked with hundreds of those individuals to get their pay, benefits restored if that has been stopped, and they've been able to ensure possibly up to hundreds of thousands of pounds have been restored for individuals across the generation who were unable to access benefits. And so sometimes it's about that team is able to work with landlords and other people to ensure that people are able to get the urgent need that they need, or to prevent homelessness or eviction in the most extreme cases. Further, we set up the compensation scheme, which, you may well know, up until the end of March, there had been just over 1,200 people who had come forward to claim compensation, and we had made 60 payments totaling just over 360,000. That was up until the end of March, and there was a further nearly a quarter of £1 million waiting and pending going to people for either then to accept that payment. So we had a further 250,000 that was pending at that point. The other significant element that the government did in response to the Windrush scandal 2 years ago was set up the Wendy Williams Lessons Learnt Review. That was published this year. The day after Wendy had completed her report and handed it over to the Home Secretary, she published it and made it available to Parliament. It is an incredibly thorough document. It runs to 270 pages. And as part of that work, Wendy and her team sifted through 69,000 documents. They talked to 450 government staff and officials and politicians spanning a number of years. And essentially, it has made 30 recommendations, which the government is now reviewing. One of the key things that Wendy said in her review is that the government should take time to reflect on the report in terms of its content and the recommendations within it. And the Home Secretary committed in March that we would come back within 6 months of receiving the report, so in September, with a full response. Last week, the Home Secretary said that she would also give an update to Parliament before it goes on summer recess in July, so before it goes on its summer holiday in July, that she would update Parliament on the work of the department in respect of the Wendy Williams review. In addition to the 30 recommendations, obviously there are a lot of lessons in there for the Home Office in terms of how it approaches its work, how it looks at its policy development. And so, as well as looking at the 30 recommendations, the department is doing a lot of work right across the themes in that to look at how it can work and deliver things differently. I'll talk a little bit more specifically about the compensation scheme now. We kicked off the compensation scheme in 2018 when the Prime Minister announced that we would set up the scheme. We did that with what we called a call for evidence. So we asked people who had been affected by Windrush to write to us and tell us about the types of impact it had on them and the types of losses, so that we could get a real understanding from individuals that were affected of the nature of the types of losses, and so that we had that as a core basis for starting our design of the policy and the compensation scheme. And that had 650 responses to that call for evidence. We then ran a full public consultation that ran from the summer of 2018 through to November. And to that we had over 1,400 responses, and that is where a number of people answered specific questions about the design of the scheme, the things that should be included, and how the scheme should be structured. In addition to those two elements, we also did a number of roadshows and consultations right across the country. The team and I went to a range of community venues right across the country to talk to people about the types of impact it had on them. We also used groups of affected individuals to test things like the claim form, and we used them to help us shape and develop the claim form. But equally, it was about talking to families and individuals who had been affected by it, so that we really could bring their lived experience into the design of the scheme. And Martin Ford was a key member and the independent advisor. So Martin is a QC, a barrister, whose day job is around medical negligence claims, so he deals in compensation from a professional legal background. But also Martin is the son of Windrush generation. And so Martin worked alongside the team and was the independent advisor to the Home Secretary on the design of the scheme. And he equally went up and down the country talking at various groups, meeting impacted individuals, as well as working very closely with me and my team in terms of how we developed and shaped and how he provided his advice to the Home Secretary. So then we designed the scheme. So the first thing was around eligibility. So who is eligible? So the scheme is open to anyone who arrived in the UK from a Commonwealth country before 1973. That is broadly what we call the Windrush generation. So anyone who was protected by the 1971 Immigration Act is entitled to claim. But equally, we're conscious that there were other people who had been in the UK for a very long time from lots of different countries from their background, who either had right of abode, settled status or British citizenship and could not demonstrate it. So the scheme is actually open to anyone who was lawfully resident in the UK before the 1988 and had status in the country, but has now or subsequently suffered difficulties because of their inability to evidence of how they work with you. One of the key elements of it is there are two levels of review available to individuals. So once we've settled a claim, if you are not satisfied that we have followed the rules or dealt with it appropriately, you can ask for it to be reviewed. That's reviewed initially by someone who didn't, who is more senior, who didn't, wasn't involved in your case decision. National communication campaign. We are currently opening the tender for those who may wish to provide claimant assistance for the remainder of the scheme. As I said, at the moment that operates through Citizens Advice, but on the 1st of July, the bidding window opens for organisations and other people to come forward to bid to run that service on behalf of the government to provide support to individuals wanting to complete their form. And we have launched a fund for £500,000, which communities will be able to bid into for funding to support the work on Windrush. And this week, the cross-government Windrush group has been launched. The Home Secretary announced that this would happen at the in March at the when she published the lessons learnt. And that's a new working group to take a national strategic view of a range of issues that affect the Windrush generation. £1,000-ish that's gone to 60 people. A number of those are what we call interim payments, so where we settle part of their claim and we do that early. So they're two different things there. I've seen that someone saying that I'm on the chat that I'm avoiding questions from the floor. I'm very happy to answer any questions. I'm here today to explain the scheme and answer your questions, so please don't think that I'm trying to avoid answering questions at all.
Okay, thank you. So you mentioned obviously the Windrush Task Force and that people who come forward under that scheme, that information is not shared with immigration enforcement. I'm sure you can understand that there is a lot of mistrust between, you know, our community and the Home Office. So what practical steps have actually been taken to
any other member of the Home Office team cannot go in and access that data. It won't allow them to.
Okay.
So it is absolutely ring-fenced to stop the ability for any people outside of that team to be able to see that case file.
Okay. Right. I'm sure you saw, I hope that you maybe have seen Sitting in Limbo. That was on the BBC recently. One of the questions that we've seen is that, you know, there's been probably very little regard being paid to the impact on mental health and well-being. And I know that you mentioned, you know, payments also for anxiety and distress, where obviously people have missed out on important family events and things like that. But has the Home Office considered a program or something specific that can address the impact on the mental well-being of the families who have been affected by the Windrush scandal?
It's a really good question, and obviously mental health and health services are something that are out with the Home Office, and obviously if people with the payments, they can obviously try to seek some of that support. But one of the things, as I mentioned earlier, was that the Home Secretary had established a new cross-government Whitehall group, which will bring in a range of community stakeholders, but also senior people from across various government departments. And I think one of the elements of that is about looking at what else beyond the compensation scheme and the task force that collectively the government can do to deal with the impacts of the Windrush scandal, but also obviously some of the wider inequalities that we have seen being actively discussed in the wake of the horrific killing of Mr. Floyd.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know we've got, just for the people who are watching, our attendees who are watching, there are a number of questions and comments, and I am attempting to sift through them as much as I possibly can, and also being aware of time. In terms of children and grandchildren of the Windrush generation who are able to claim under the compensation mm-hmm. scheme, I'm assuming they would have to claim separately, and how, someone has asked, how are they able to prove their relationship, as some children, for example, may not have their father's name on their birth certificate?
So they claim their eligibility through demonstrating when they came to the UK and when their parents came to the UK. So they will need to be able to tell us that information so that we can assess the link and demonstrate the link to them because they're a primary claimant in their own right. So they do claim separately. They don't need to wait and see if their grandparent or parent had claimed. So they, you know, we wanted to avoid it because we know that some people don't want to claim and some people have had different impacts. And so they claim in their own right, but we will need to understand the family link to be able to demonstrate that the person does qualify under the Windrush generation, broadest term that we have for the compensation scheme. So they will need to tell us a bit about their biographic data and background details so that we can assess the eligibility.
So when they tell you that information, so say for example it was me and my mother, for example, was a member of the Windrush generation. Maybe during the scandal she passed away, and I would like to claim. I mean, the whole point of this was that obviously, you know, there is a lack of documentation to kind of show that they were lawfully here. So how do I kind of prove the information that you're asking for in terms of telling you about, you know, sort of when they came here, those kinds of things? What happens to people who don't necessarily have that information?
Well, we will try and work with them through either the task force, because normally the impact will be felt because the individual doesn't have their lawful status. So it's pre-compensation in some respects. Mm-hmm. So because the impact will be because if it was you in your case, you're not able to demonstrate your lawful status in the UK. Mm-hmm. So we would then work through the task force about, you would work with the caseworker there to tell your story, your family tree, and then we would look at to be able to corroborate that as far as we can. But they are taking a very broad approach to evidential flexibility on that to be able to support people. Obviously, the less detail there is, it can take a little bit longer because we have to establish that somebody, it does qualify. So that would be the main way, is through you getting your documentation that demonstrates you have what we call no time limits or indefinite leave to remain. Having mm-hmm. been granted that through the task force, you wouldn't be asked to prove that again necessarily at the compensation scheme, because obviously we've already seen the impact and the link to the Windrush generation.
Okay. Another question from our attendees. The current compensation claim form has to be handwritten, and this poses problems with the size of the boxes and legibility. Can the Home Office provide a form that can be used by Microsoft Word, for example?
So I think that is being rolled out, if it hasn't been. I had understood that was out last week. It doesn't have to be filled in hand. You can fill it in online, but it's not through Word at the moment. So there is an online version of it. My understanding is the easy read version that can be done in Microsoft Word should have been rolled out last week. But let me come back to me through WD Legal if that hasn't gone live. But my understanding was that was supposed to have done. But it can be filled in online. It's just not savable separately in Word at the moment. But we are working on that.
Also, another criticism actually that I've heard being levelled at the compensation scheme is the complexity, particularly when it comes to the claim form. Is there any way that the Home Office can simplify this?
So we are very open to feedback on simplifying it. As I say, we did test it with Windrush generation people when, you know, we've worked with a number of stakeholders. Most of the form is actually blank pages. So it allows people to tell their story. So if you look at the form, it's got basically it tells you at the top the heading, and there's a lot of pages because, as I went through earlier, there's lots of different elements that people can claim compensation for. And so we've then left it mainly blank, other than the kind of key biographic details that we need to collect at the beginning, so that people can tell their story. Now, obviously, people, if they said that they lost employment in an earlier part rather than on their impact of life, we don't expect them to have to keep repeating that, because what we do is we look at every element of it and then look against the compensation. We don't say, well, you filled that in the wrong box. And so the form is there is to guide people and to help them think about the various different impacts that might have happened, rather than a kind of strict, you can only fill in the impact on your employment in the employment bit and not on the impact on your life, because we're cognizant that these things overflow. But if there are specific elements that people would like to see differently administered, then we are very open to looking at how we can continue to kind of develop the form so that it works for the community.
Okay. Someone has said that those who were married lost out on tax and national insurance, and will they be compensated for this, as some are now left with very little pension?
So national insurance, so if individuals lost out on national insurance, we are working with them and the Department for Work and Pensions to make sure that they don't lose out on pensions. I'm not clear what the marriage element of that is specifically, but if someone wants to get in contact directly or through WD Legal, we can look at a specific case. But obviously, it's difficult to go through, you know, the intricacies of every individual case. But as I say, there is the element of discretion in the form where if people lost out on other significant financial elements, they can include that on the form, and we can certainly look at those elements.
Okay. With regard to loss of jobs, how does the payments work? Will payments be made for every year lost? So, for example, if someone was out of work for five years or whatever as a result of this, are payments made for every year that they were unemployed?
It's made per month. So whatever they were earning up to when they got status plus 3 months. So we cover the entire period. Mm-hmm. Plus 3 months after them getting their having the paperwork that demonstrates their right to work. Obviously, if they took up other employment in that time, then they can't claim for that period. But if someone was out of work for a period, we do have to look at what benefits they may have received, because we are conscious that some people then got benefits. So we look at the difference. But they do get the entire period if they are able to demonstrate their consistent work history, that they took steps to try and resolve it. And that could just be a letter to an MP. They can demonstrate they called the Home Office to try and resolve the situation. And we can clarify their work history with their tax records, which we can do with HMRC if they give us permission. Then yes, the period is covered.
Okay. Another last few questions for you, just sort of last three or four questions. Do you... I mean, someone's also asked the timescales for implementing the Wendy Williams Lessons Learned review, and many of the comments that I've read in the chat pertain to what steps the Home Office are taking to ensure that this never happens again. Now, I know that you may want to refer to, obviously, the fact that the government will publish their response to the Lessons Learned review come September. But I mean, this scandal broke 2 years ago. So surely there must have been some kind of internal reflection in the Home Office prior to the Wendy Williams review that you would kind of started implementing steps to make sure that this never happens again.
So there have been a range of things that were put in place in addition to the elements I said. So we introduced new measures in how we deal with detention of people, particularly vulnerable adults and other people. So new measures there to try and avoid people being wrongly detained. We created something called the Chief Caseworker Unit, and they look at some of the complex cases and are there to support caseworkers. We've also put safety mechanisms in terms of the data we share around compliant environments. So we've effectively paused the compliant environment for anyone aged over 30. So we don't do proactive data sharing with other government departments. So there are a range of measures that we put in to stop some of or to prevent those things happening again whilst the review was ongoing. There's been more training around things like what we call the policy quality statement that we've been running. We've instituted something, new measures in our policy development process to try and ensure that we are looking at the broadest set of things. So there are a range of measures, but it is also really important that we properly respond and reflect on the Wendy Williams report. And that, as I say, that will come forward. That doesn't mean no work is happening on it. We are reviewing both the recommendation and the ways of working in light of that. And say the Home Secretary will give an update later this summer, and then the fall in September is the plan for responding to the report. Obviously, in terms of then implementation of some of those recommendations, some of those things are not things that kind of happen overnight, but as I say, subject to the report, they will, what Wendy has asked is an action plan for responding, and that she will come back within 18 months of publication to look again is one of her recommendations in the report.
Okay. In terms of the deadline of the scheme being extended to 2023, considering the impact of COVID-19 and the fact that we do not know how long that will continue to impact us, I would assume that the Home Office would be receptive to continuously extending that as is necessary, because 2023 might not be long enough.
So we've always got discretion under the rules to extend that. I think we will obviously review that if we think that, and if there is evidence that there are people that are still missed out or there's more that we need to do, then we will certainly look at that at that time.
Okay, and final question, because I'm aware it's 11:30 and we do need to go to a break. As you know, like I said, there is a lot of mistrust, and rightfully so, between the Windrush generation and the Home Office, due to the hostile environment which is still in place. So there is no real guarantee that we will not be treated in a hostile manner by the Home Office. Do you think that compensation can ever really right the wrongs for all the things that yourself and the Home Office have continuously apologised for? Do you think that compensation can really ever address that sufficiently, or should there really be a case for reparations for our community? And also, how do you think, and what steps will you take to rebuild that trust between the Home Office and the Windrush generation, if that is at all possible?
Thank you. I mean, I think in answer to your question, I don't think compensation can. It is one element of trying to right wrongs that happen to individuals, but obviously what happened to people is unforgivable. It has had huge impacts on those people, and I don't pretend that just by a payment of compensation that makes that all go away. And I think, you know, clearly the test will be whether we can build that trust and integrity and with the community. and continue to do that. So I think, you know, it is one element of it. It cannot and is not all of it. So I'm under no illusions, having met with many victims and their families, that, you know, this goes deeper than that, and we need to continue to work with them. And some of that will be whether we can demonstrate the drive and action following the lessons learned review that means that the Home Office is a better, stronger and more trusted place in the years to come. I think how I hope we begin to build that trust is by continuing to do these events where we come into communities, that we work with community stakeholders, and that we can build that trust by demonstrating by our actions that we are able to respond to things. We build that by working with you through this, and hopefully the £500,000 fund that we announced will go some way to supporting those community groups to help us in that work.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your time, Dan Hobbs. Once you've shared the links, and if possible, the PowerPoint, we'll get that out to those who have attended today and the wider community. So thank you ever so much for your time.
I'm conscious that people feel that their questions haven't been addressed. If you want, I'm very happy the team have my email. If there are questions outstanding that people would want responded to, we can do that in writing. I'm conscious that obviously there is only a short amount of time today, but if there are questions, please send them through and we will can send some answers that you can then share with your colleagues.
Okay, yeah, thank you for that. And we'll look to facilitate that for you. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay, I hope everyone found that fairly informative and had some of their questions answered. Apologies that I wasn't able to ask every single one, but I did try to ask the sort of the most pertinent questions. And as Dan said, if you have further questions that need to be put to him, we'll work to facilitate that for you, and we'll email you or contact you to work out how we're going to get that done. We're going to take a short break now. I'm aware that we are slightly running over, but we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then during that time, as I mentioned in the introduction to this, we'll be going into the breakout sessions afterwards, so you can listen to the music for a few minutes and then sign into the breakout session that you wish to attend. Okay, so enjoy the music, and I will see you guys at the plenary.